Welcome. It's another episode of Fixing Your Kanban. I am professional Kanban trainer Ryan Ripley. Below is professional Kanban trainer Todd Miller. And of course, we've got Dan the Van Vacanti. How's everyone doing?
Good. Great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Dan, big question that comes up all the time. And there's a lot of opinion and craziness around this. So let's start at the beginning. A lot of teams ask, how do we get started? You know, we get this a lot in our scrum courses. You know, Todd, Ryan, what should we do first? And we typically tell them, pick a practice that solves a problem and then kind of layer it on as you go. And with Kanban, it's a little different, right? You're setting up some workflow policies. You're setting up, I think there's like some really solid stuff that needs to be there. So I'm curious, when you're working with these new teams, Dan, or you get hit with the question of how to start, like, where do you go? Like, what's that process, or what's that kind of phasing, or what does that adoption look like?
All right. So yeah, let's right off the bat, let's get one of the biggest myths out of the way, I think, in terms of where to start with Kanban, because a lot of you may have heard that with Kanban, you start with where you are now. I personally, this is just Dan talking, I personally hate that phrase on so many levels, because I mean, like, kind of physically, you really can only start with where you are now, right? I mean, but this idea that you have to, you know, you're not allowed to change roles, or you're not allowed to change, you know, workflow policies or whatever, that you just have to map out this state as it currently exists. That's how you start with Kanban. I think, you know, as I said, it, you know, is one of the biggest myths out there, and has been a big myth since the very beginning. One of my favorite ways to start with Kanban is, especially at the team level, you know, and this is essentially what we do in our trainings. We get a team in a room, you know, pre-pandemic era anyway, we get a team in a room in front of a blank whiteboard, and we say, okay, team, as a team, how would we like to work together? Right? Just frame the conversation like that. Forget about how things work now. Forget about what our policies now. Forget about all that stuff. As a team, how do we want to work? And let's start mapping that out.
Yeah, I like that starting point. We'll do that with teams that we're working with. It's just, look, if you could draw out the way that would lead to the easiest delivery, right? You know, take out all the things that are hard, what would it look like? And I think that's, you know, if you start where you're at, has always sounded weird to me. I'm definitely with you on that one, Dan, where it's like, well, wait, if we're adopting a new practice, something's probably wrong and we don't like what we're doing now. So why would we limit ourselves to starting here? I mean, it just sounds kind of foolish, right? I would want to look, you know, positively out and say, what could we do? What would we change? And then what could that new state look like? So yeah, I'm totally with you there. What do you think, Todd?
I think that there's I don't know. I tend to be really pragmatic in the context of a situation, because I think it's like, how would we like to work? I think sometimes I've started even with, how are we working now? And trying to figure out where that's flawed, right? And then maybe just saying, well, there's this thing called Kanban that could help with this particular situation. Because I don't want to feel like I'm forcing people to take a stance on a new way of doing work. I think that in order for it to work, they really need to believe that it's going to work. And to your point, Ryan, I think that if none of us are there because everything's working great, right? You're not being asked to adopt Kanban or Scrum or whatever because everything is working great right now. So I think that there's a lot of different ways for us to approach it. Dan, I really like the way about how could we work better now. I think that instantiates a lot of conversations. In my mind too, I was just thinking about how are we working today and how's that not working? That may be another approach. I mean, there's multiple approaches to this that I think are pretty awesome.
Yeah. This to me, because to me, this is where Heidi Helfand's book, I don't know if everybody's familiar. If you haven't read her book, Dynamic Reteaming, you absolutely should read her book, Dynamic Reteaming. But so many times I go into a team and that team has morphed so much over time. People have joined the team, people have left the team. You know, maybe the purpose of the team has changed or whatever, that it has morphed over time. And yet, generally speaking, they don't morph their process with those changes. And so many times I go into a context and team gives a classic answer of when you ask them, well, why do you work this way? And like, we work this way because we work this way, right? They just don't have a good answer for that. And so that's why, you know, I like so much. It's like, if we took the constraints out of, you know, away from, you know, how you're working today, and if you could dream up your own perfect process. But to your point, Todd, I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping you're not having that conversation until there's been some team consensus that yes, this is, you know, Kanban is something we want to do, or Scrum is something we want to do.
Yeah. I guess I'm probably sometimes a bit jaded in that regard, because it'll be like, hey, management hired this person to come in and convince you should work different. Right. I mean, that happens quite a bit. Or like, you could be in that situation, like someone listening could be in that situation where you're just like, go work with this team because they're broken and fix them. Right. And I think that we need to be a little bit cautious in approaching that, because otherwise, like Ryan, I think it was Esther Derby talking about coercing people into change.
Yeah.
And so like, where to get started with Kanban, I think maybe as simple as the things that we're talking about right now. And now I know there's some other schools of thought. Right. There's some other schools of thought that say that let's change everything. What do you think about that, Dan? Like, what? Instead of starting where you are now, let's pursue this evolutionary change. Let's get it. Let's change everything all at once. What do you think of that?
I mean, obviously, it depends. I'm going to give my standard consultant answer there.
Really glad everybody's watching the video for Dan's wisdom. Yeah, it depends.
That'll be $1,000.
$1,000, please. Yeah, and that's. I mean, but you bring up a good point. I mean, because I don't know that there is a, you know, just like in, you know, if you haven't watched the Work in Progress Limits video, go watch that one. But just in that video, I don't know that there's necessarily a good answer here. I don't want to say that starting with where you are now is never a good practice. It could be. But I don't want people thinking that that's how you have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. To Todd's point, you know, going in and changing absolutely everything. I don't want people thinking that that's how you have to do it. You've got options here.
So Dan, what if we just took a team, we put the item age of all of their current work on the board. We looked at one that was really wildly out of bounds and just said, how could we work a little differently in a Kanban context to make it so that this type of item age doesn't happen again? Does that work?
Sounds great to me.
Like it. Right. Yeah. And that could be a pragmatic way to start. Of course, you're going to end up defining a workflow and setting, you know, work in process limits, and you're going to define your entry point and your exit point of work and all those things. But what if it's just as simple as, where's a really glaring, big glaring problem, and how does Kanban solve that? And then according to, Jerry Weinberg, you know, the Rudy's rutabaga dilemma. If you don't know what that is, you have not read Secrets of Consulting, which means you're missing another really good book. What that means is, once you solve your biggest problem, your second biggest problem gets a promotion to the currently biggest problem, and then use Kanban to solve that. And over the course of months, years, weeks, whatever the time frame is, you'll probably be into a really good setup that looks nothing like the way you used to work. You've solved a lot of practical problems, and your flow's probably in good shape, right? Cool.
Right.
You have options. I think that's the big message here. There's no one method or methodology around Kanban. There's no one right and true way. You're allowed to experiment, and we hope that message is the one that shines through.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to even ask for the final word. I'm just going to take the final word, Ryan. If you haven't watched our definition of workflow episode, please go back and review that. Go and review the Kanban guide. And just from there, you know, use your own creativity. You know, you're only limited by your imagination in terms of how you want to implement, you know, all these things that we talk about. So whatever works for you, do it.
Yeah.
Todd stole it. All right. End screen before there's a brawl.
Last words over Dan. Can you mute him, Ryan?
Be sure to like and subscribe so that you don't miss this epic end screen content in the future. Check out the socials. We post a lot of Scrum and Kanban ideas and topics out there. Check out the videos below. They've just popped up. We think you'll like them. YouTube does too. For Dan and Todd, I'm Ryan Ripley. Go out, rebuild your systems, right? Think about what's possible. Don't get stuck into the dogma. And do what works, and we'll see you next time.